John chapter 5 and verse 41 to 44. John chapter 5 verse 41, reading from there. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is lacking the main thing. Lacking the main thing. There are things which we do not have, which don't really matter. There are things that we do not have, which make quite a difference in this life, but which are of no account in the world to come. But this lack, which they lacked, was terrible. For they had not the love of God in them, which meant that their life was wretched in this world, and more so in that which is to come forever. To think of man made by God and in the image of God, to never once enjoy God and delight in him. That was true of them, and it's true of everyone who is not born of the Spirit, that they never ever enjoy the living and true God, not in this world nor the next. Forever and ever they go on in their deadness, in trespasses and in sins, and they are in this world without hope and without God in the world, and they are certainly so in the world to come if that continues. Cut off from the fountain of all blessedness, God himself. And in all who are ultimately lost, their lives in this world and that which is to come are without God, without the enjoyment of God, without the favorable presence of God. They are destroyed with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. To never know his favor, the smile of his face, that is true of the ungodly in this world, and it is true forever in the world to come. Never to exercise the soul in enjoying his love, because there is no love to God. It is the lack of this love that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, pronounces upon these men. I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. May it not be so of any of us, but Christ could say, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Well then, first of all, let us consider Christ pronounces not because of any need of his own. Christ pronounces not because of any need of his own. Verse 41, I receive not honor from men. Now this verse does not mean that he was indifferent to their sinful opinion of him. Far from it. He was grieved, we are told, by their unbelief. But neither was he irritated as if his standing depended upon the approval of men. Because it did not. He was the Christ of God, whether they acknowledged it or not. And that is true to this day, that he remains the Christ of God, whether men admit this to be true or not. He didn't need the praise of men. How important that was to the Pharisees. We shall see that in a moment. But he had the approval of God the Father and was sent by him. He is all glorious. And they could add nothing to that glory. They could only acknowledge, if they would, what was true anyway, that he is the Lord of glory. Men should acknowledge, yes, they should acknowledge the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nations of men should acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as individuals. They cannot add to that glory which is his, but they can add to the acknowledgement of his glory. They can't add to the glory itself that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The United Nations, for example, can pass as many anti-Christian resolutions as it likes. It will not detract from the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious and the government is upon his shoulders. But it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge that glory. But the glory itself is absolute. And no nation of men or individuals can add or subtract from the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we mean when we say, give the Lord the glory? Or when we read, as we did week before last in our Wednesday meeting, that Herod gave not God the glory. We don't mean that God was absolutely and ultimately robbed of his glory, but we mean he failed to acknowledge that glory as belonging to God. But God is glorious whether men acknowledge it or not. He remains the same. The pagans of biblical times thought of a God of the people as located in that country. And so the God of Babylon was in Babylon. The God of Israel was in Israel. That's how they thought. They thought of God in local terms. And they thought that the power of that God was reflected in the state of the nation that went by his name. And so when Israel was oppressed, as we were reading in the book of Lamentations, that meant that Jehovah wasn't up to much. That's the way they thought. They thought the glory of a nation's God was indicated in the prosperity or otherwise of that nation. How wrong, how utterly wrong. Firstly, to think that God is restricted, the God of the hills or the God of the valleys, the God of a particular nation, he is the God of the whole earth. But secondly, to think that the low state of the church means that the church's Lord is himself in a low condition. And so the heathen said, where now is thy God? Where is their God now gone? But our God reigns in the heavens. What pleased him he hath done. And the church may wax and wane, but that doesn't mean the glory of God waxes and wanes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is his Christ, his appointed mediator king. Whatever men do, let all the Pharisees in the world decry and rant and rave. The Lord Jesus Christ is still the King of glory, and he receives not testimony from men. He is dependent upon no man's testimony for his position as the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And he was dependent upon no man's testimony to fulfill the Father's good pleasure in coming into this world to save sinners. But then secondly, Christ knows. Verse 42. But I know you. But I know you. Christ knows. You remember back in chapter 2, after he changed the water into wine, we read in verse 24 of chapter 2. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew all about it. He knows us, every one of us. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and he knows us. I know you. He could say that in a way that no one else could say. We can only go by the outward, but he says, I know you. I see what is in your heart. And he still does. These men could fool others, but they couldn't fool him. Not even Judas fooled him. Judas fooled the other disciples. He deceived them. They didn't know that it was him that was to betray him. But he didn't ever fool the Lord Jesus Christ, and neither can we. No one can. These Pharisees, they went to endless lengths so that people would think they were such holy men. But the Lord looked upon the heart. No mere show can deceive him. Their true state was becoming visible in their opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew before this. He knew what was in man. Their claim, as it were, to be honest seekers after truth, he knew that it was a sham. They were nothing of the sort. They were looking for reasons to speak against the Lord Jesus. And when they saw the miracles, they admitted them, but they still opposed him. They weren't honest seekers after truth at all. I know you. John chapter 6 and verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And then verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. But notice that verse 64. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He knew. And he says to every one of us, I know you. I know you. He knows. He knows all about us. He knows what's in our hearts. I know you. Thirdly, Christ sees their greatest need. Christ sees their greatest need. Verse 42. And they said, is not this, verse 42. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Christ sees their greatest need. They do not love God. Despite their show, people would have been amazed. What you talking about? These men, these are the highest echelons. Surely, if anybody loves God, they do, but they didn't. They didn't have a heart that loved God. Christ said to Nicodemus, he must be born again. Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? He should have known them. The Old Testament makes it very clear. We've looked at this before when we were in that chapter, but Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 makes it very clear that only God changing the heart can produce love to God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Or Ezekiel 36 teaches clearly the need of the new birth, the need of this change which only the Spirit of God can give. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. That's what's needed. The work of the Spirit. The taking out of the stony heart and the putting in the heart of flesh. But you say, isn't Christ freely offered to all men? Of course he is. But why do some believe and some do not? Why do some receive him and some do not? The answer is that the Spirit of God works in those whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. But here he tells them plainly that their need is of a new heart. Despite all their outward performances, all their religious observances, all their biblical ordinances, but man-made ordinances as well, all their phylacteries and so forth, they lacked love to God. And it showed in their response to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not like Anna. They were not like Simeon that waited for the consolation of Israel, that looked for redemption in Israel. For all that they said about God, they did not love him and did not love his truth. But you say, weren't they sincere? Well, yes, they were sincere. Or they may have been sincere, but sincerely wrong. Does it make a man right? Because he consistently believes the wrong thing as opposed to inconsistently. And the reason they believed what was wrong was because they loved what was wrong. The book of Revelation talks about those who love and make a lie. Those who love and make a lie. Why do they make a lie? Because they love it. It's a preference. It's what they want. They love the lie that they make. We can all convince ourselves that we love God if we make our own God. We can all love the God of our own invention. Every one of us. We decide what we want God to be like, and then we feel we love that God. Every idolater in the world has done that. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. It's talking about the gods of Babylon. Bel, as in Belshazzar, and Nebo, as in Nebuchadnezzar. They were the names of their gods. And they made these gods. In the day of adversity, they had to carry them. They were useless. They made them, they carried them. But then verse 3, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. He says, I have made you, not just by creation, but by redemption, my people, and I will carry you from the womb to hoar hairs will I carry you. That's the difference between false religion and true. False religion is man-made and is useless, whereas God, the living God, forms his people to show forth his praise, and he carries them. We can all say, yes, I love God, if we pretend that God is not holy and hates sin. Or if we pretend that God doesn't punish sin. Or if we pretend that the atonement isn't really necessary, because God is not really just. Or we pretend that God is not the God of sovereign grace, who shows mercy as he pleases, and who is rich in mercy to all that call upon him. If we pretend that God is not the God of the scriptures, and we worship we know not what, then, yes, we will convince ourselves that we love God. But do we love the God who speaks in the Holy Scriptures? An important question, even for the boys and girls, even for the children. Do you love this God? When you hear about him from the Bible, not some imaginary God, but this God who has given inerrant, infallible scripture, the Bible, this God, do we love this God? That's the question. Do we see that there's no hope for any of us except through Christ, who bore the sin of many. All religions are not the same, not at all. Biblical Christianity, we've said this before, we'll say it again. Biblical Christianity is unique. It is the truth. And it insists on the necessity of Christ's atonement, fulfilling the justice of God. No one else believes that. No one. Not pseudo-Christianity, not paganism. They don't believe that. Not false religion of any kind believes in the necessity of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God is a just God and a Savior. We may think that another religion is very impressive outwardly. It affects so much of people's lives outwardly. But it doesn't produce new creatures in Christ Jesus. It doesn't change the heart. We live in a day when Roman Catholicism is still active, still very active indeed. And the papacy is in the background. But Islam is to the fore. And everybody is on tiptoe. But this is the fundamental difference. They don't believe, well, they don't believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in the deity of Christ, they don't believe in the Incarnation, they don't believe in the crucifixion. But why? They don't see the necessity of the atonement. Because the God of false religion is not holy and just, and therefore he is not a just God and a Savior. Biblical Christianity is unique, firstly in ascribing the whole of salvation to God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And secondly, by insisting that God's way of salvation is just. And the atonement is essential to the salvation of those who trust in him. So if you've made an imaginary God, you must deceive yourself no longer. Real Christians, those who are born again of the Spirit, feel no necessity to depart from the biblical view of God. And this God is our God, the God of the Scriptures. But the Pharisees are an example of how apparently aligned to the Scripture a man can be and not love the God of the Scriptures. They didn't. They knew the Scriptures as to their content, but they didn't love God. And Christ sees through it all. I know you, that the love of God is not in you. Fourthly, Christ sees what there is. Christ sees what there is. Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honour one of another, and seek not the honour that cometh from God only? They would receive an imposter rather than the true Christ of God. Like the Corinthians, they would suffer fools gladly. But when Christ came, performing the works given to him of the Father, they didn't want him. It doesn't mean that they would listen to just anybody, but they would listen to anybody sooner than Christ. And they looked for the praise of men. There was no room for love to God. They loved the praise of men. They were addicted to being well thought of. If you're addicted to this sin, and it is an addiction. We are addicted sinners by nature. If you're addicted to loving the praise of men, you need a new heart. That doesn't mean we are indifferent to the feelings of others. Of course we're not. But if all you live for is to be well thought of, then how dwells the love of God in you? How dwelleth the love of God in you? How can you believe if all that really motivates you and makes you tick is to be well thought of? How can you trust in Christ? You see, trust in Christ is to depend upon him, to rely upon him, to rest upon him, to acknowledge no acceptance with God except through his merits, and to wholly trust in his name. You can't do that if you're addicted to self-love and to the praise of others. In 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. You say, that's strange. I thought we were required to believe on his name. Yes, but every real believer begins to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer, without exception. So that when he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Well then, it's the same body of people as those who believe not. Because every believer begins to love him. Do you love God? This God? Now, the question is not, do you love him as you should? Or do you love him as the inhabitants of heaven love him? Or as the holy angels love him? Without sin, without imperfection. Because we don't. We fall short. We're still sinners. We're in this world. But do you love him a little bit? Because where did that love come from, if not from God? It is not natural to love God, the God of the Bible. So that even if you feel your love for him is very small, yet it is of God and the result of the work of his Spirit. These men didn't love God at all. Yes, they were religious men, but they didn't love God. Whereas those who are born of the Spirit, even though they may lament very much that they don't love God more, they do love him. And they don't want him to be any different to what he really is, as revealed in Scripture. Quite happy with a biblical view of God. Are you happy with a biblical view of God? Are you satisfied with the scriptural teaching about God? You see, in many areas of the professing church, this question is never asked because there's no declaration of what God is like. It's just assumed. And so the question never is asked, never put. But that will not do. If we're committed to the whole counsel of God in Scripture, we've got to declare what God is like. Do you love this God? Even a little bit. Because if we love him at all, it is the work of the Spirit, and we should be thankful. Because by nature, we all hate the living and true God. By grace, men love him. This is the wonder of the gospel, that it was for rotten, wretched, hell-deserving sinners that Christ died. And he makes of them what false religion will never make, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Has he begun a good work in you? Not has he finished it, because he hasn't, he wouldn't be here. But has he begun it? Then he shall finish it. He shall perfect that which concerns him. As we sang in Psalm 138, he will perform his gracious work until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, bless thy word to our hearts. Enable us more and more to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to rejoice in him whom thou hast sent, and to love God. We pray that thou wilt quicken us, that thou wilt cause that love to the Redeemer, which is in the hearts of thy people, to flourish and to advance. Hear us, O God, and bless thy word to us. And all that we ask is for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.